right. So last week we talked about this this word agorizo, and it means to purchase at the marketplace. To purchase at the marketplace. This specific word is used to describe to purchase a slave at the slave market. So that's why Paul used these words to help us see, because what happened is when Jesus came into the earth, by the time Jesus showed up on the scene, all of humanity was in the slave market, the slave market of sin, right? You're like, well, I've never been on a slave market. Before you gave your life to Christ, you were nothing but wrapped up in a slave market. But you were wrapped up in a slave market of sin, where sin dictated and controlled your life. But then Jesus comes in. He shows up on the scene and says, okay, I have come to inspect this slave market. And not only that, but I came here for you. I came to get you off that slave auction block. I am removing you from that. And that's what that word means. He came to buy us out of it. All right? Isn't that awesome? Are you glad you've been bought off the slave market of sin? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, now watch this. Here's the deal. Because back then, you know, and I'm not going to go into everything I went through last week about the slave market. You can go back and listen to it online, whatever. But watch this. The problem is, in their slave market, that slaves would be purchased, right? And then once the owner had decided, okay, I've extrapolated everything out of this slave, or I've dealt with all of this slave, whatever it is, I want to get rid of him. So what does he do? And he puts him back on the slave market to be bought again, right? That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to take you from one vice to the next vice, from one sin to the next sin. He wants to keep putting you back on the slave market, putting you back, even once you've been born again, he wants to convince you that, no, I'm going to put you back on the slave market. But here's what we're going to talk about today. Remember that word agorizo? I'm going to give you another word. Same word, it's going to add two letters. Ex agorizo. Ex means, in the Greek, it means out. Think of this. Exit. We have different exits so you can get out of the building. Well, Jesus came to not only inspect you and say, oh, you poor dear heart, at least I'll save you so you won't have to go to hell. No, that's not what Jesus did. What he did, he not only did he redeem us from hell, but he redeemed us from every trace of the powers of darkness. That's what Jesus did. That's what his blood did for you, and that's what his blood did for me. He says every trace, everything. That's why you, as a believer, even though you have a past life, you don't have to be haunted by that past life. You don't have to live with the regrets of that past life. Of course you're going to wish you hadn't done some things. But there's a difference in wishing you hadn't done some things and living in the regret of it, because regret is a bondage. Regret is a chain that the enemy wants to wrap around you and always reminding you, see what you did? See what you did? You're not worth anything. Look at all the stuff that you did. Look at all the mistakes you made. You're not worthy. You're not worth anything. But Jesus shows up on the scene and says, let me tell you how valuable you are to me. And Jesus paid, listen to this, Jesus paid the highest price of any slave ever. Combined. Jesus looks at it and says, what is it going to cost to set these people free? And the Father says, it's going to cost you your life. You're going to have to shed your blood for them. He says, I'll go. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was in there and he was agonizing in prayer? Father, if there be any way for this cup to pass from me, if there be any way that I don't have to go through what I'm going to have to go through for these people to be redeemed, let it be so. But nevertheless, not my fleshly desires, not what I will, but what you will for me to do. And here's the thing. There was only one way. His blood had to be shed. And so he allowed himself to be hung on a cross, to die a horrendous death, so that we could be free. The highest price ever paid for a slave. And Jesus said, I'll pay it. And he did pay it, and you are free. Why are we preaching on this? If we're free, then why am I preaching on this? Because most people don't even know what the word redeemed actually means. It's a church word. Or a shopping word. I redeemed my coupon. But what does that word mean? It means you, that coupon buys back part of your money so you don't have to spend it to get that item. Jesus became our redemption. His blood took the place of our life. His life took the place of our life. The Bible says that he became sin. He didn't put on sin. He became sin. Why? So that we could become his righteousness. Hallelujah. So every time the devil tries to bring up your past, you need to say, you need to shut your mouth. You don't, no, you don't even know what you're talking about. You certainly haven't been talking to God, because he says, I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. Watch this. So this word ex agorizo means that we have been purchased out of the slave market. But this is what makes it even better. Makes it even better. You ready for this? This word ex agorizo means that we have been bought out of slavery. How many know that would be awesome? Praise God, I've been bought out of slavery. Permanently. Permanently. Because what would happen is they would, these slaves would be bought, and then they'd be being put back on there and sold again, sold again, sold again, sold again. But Jesus says, no, I didn't buy you out to sell you again. I bought you out to set you free permanently, for good, never to return to the slave market of sin again. And watch this, never to return to the effects of the slave market again. You don't have to live with that sinful mentality. You don't have to live with all those regrets and, oh man, I just can't get this out of my mind, how horrible I was in my life. Forget all that, because Jesus, God's forgotten it. God has forgotten it. You have been forgiven. That means God is no longer holding it. It's not even on your records anymore. God went in and expunged it. He just took the whole file of sin and got rid of it. And now what God looks at, man, look at that precious, blood-bought child of mine. Man, all God sees, he looks at you and he sees you through the blood of Jesus. He sees you through the blood of Jesus, that blood that was shed for you, that sealed the covenant of our righteousness. We have been forgiven, and we are permanently free to serve our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that fantastic? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at it. I'm going to give you a verse that kind of really just, I mean, it's a perfect verse to explain this. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, but Christ has rescued us. The New King James says that Christ has redeemed us. All right? But he has, and we looked last week and we saw that one of the definitions of redeem is to rescue. And we're going to look at that here again in just a minute. But he says, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse that was pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took himself the curse for our wrongdoing. That's a substitution work that Jesus did for us. We were headed towards that. We were going to have to pay the price for our wrongdoing. But Jesus stepped in and says, no, I'm not going to have them do that. I'm going to step in and take that for them. I remember hearing a story not too long ago. There was a judge, this gentleman came before him. I can't remember what the offense was or whatever. But anyway, he was going to have to spend a few nights in jail. I think it was 5 nights in jail for whatever the offense was. And the judge felt so bad that he had to pronounce that judgment, that the judge went and spent 5 nights in jail with that person so they would not be alone in their sentence. Right? That's here on earth. Jesus went far beyond that. He didn't say, I'm going to go there and spend time with them in their sentence. He says, no, I'm going to set them free, and I am going to take their penalty. I am going to take their penalty. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So let's look at, but he's here, Galatians chapter 3:13. It says, but Christ has rescued us. He has redeemed us from, everybody say from? From the curse. He's redeemed you from the curse. That means he has removed you from the curse. The curse is no longer yours to bear. What curse? The curse of the law. What is that? Well, there's sickness and disease in the curse. There's poverty and lack in the curse. Yeah, there's slavery in the curse. All that stuff, right? There's lack of peace. If you look back at Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it lists all these curses, There is mental curses, anxiety, depression, all those things. You've been bought out of it. Glory to God, you've been bought out of it. You've been bought out of it. See, we got to come and begin to see that reality. No, 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 wait, you lying devil. I ain't got to deal with this mess. I've been bought out of that mess. I've been bought out of that. Tell you what, if I go to court for a ticket and the judge says, you have been released from this $350 ticket, I am not going to go, no, I object, Your Honor. In spite of what you were trying to do to give me freedom from that, I demand that I make my payment. But you know that's what believers are doing all the time? Jesus has set you free, but no, you demand to live in your remorse. Your Honor, I know that you shed your blood for me. I know you took the stripes on your back for me. I know that I'm supposed to have peace because of you, but I demand to have my oppression. I demand to have this sickness. This is my sickness to have. Come on, somebody. Am I preaching good or what? This is good stuff right here. Sometimes I wish I was sitting there listening to me. Glory to God. But we have been redeemed from it. It is no longer yours to carry. It is not your burden to bear. The only burden you have is to bear one another's burdens. And we don't do that by remorse. We do that by saying, hey, come on, you can overcome this. We're to bear one another. Come on, I am your faith brother. I am your faith sister. We're going to get in faith and we're going to get rid of this. We're getting you out of this mess because Jesus already redeemed you. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what?
Say so.
Speak out. Let people know. No, no, no. You don't have to go through that because my Jesus redeemed me from that very thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to remind you of it. This is really good. It goes perfect with this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Let's look at it. Colossians 1:13 says, for he has rescued us from, everybody say from? Come on, there's that word from again. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. And he didn't stop there and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we're living in a whole new kingdom now. Completely delivered, completely set free from the powers of darkness and all of their effects. Even the very trace of your old way is gone. We don't have to live with those memories. And the devil tries to remind you of something. You don't even know what you're talking about. Because God already told me I'm forgiven. So I ain't even listening to you. Tell you what, man, if I went to court, you know, because I was speeding or something. Not that I would ever do something like that. But if I did, and I got a ticket, right? And I went before the judge, and he redeemed me. I ain't offering to pay for it. I'm going to be like, thank you, Your Honor. And that's what you need to be doing. You mean, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Your Majesty. Thank you so much for paying the price for my iniquity. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was woozed. He was That's wounded and bruised in one word. Okay. He was wounded. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was wounded for our iniquity. He was bruised. You guys got me all messed up. Yeah. Right? Read it. Isaiah 53. Verses 4 and 5, I believe it is. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, watch this, of our peace. Our peace. We're living in a day where mental illness is a big deal. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus redeemed you from mental illness. Right? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. We were healed of all of it. When God does something, it's a full meal deal. It's the full package. Amen? All right, here we go. I got to wrap this up. Oh, dang it, I'm 3 minutes over. Okay. Give me 2 minutes, I'll be done. 2 minutes, I'll be done. That gives me 5 minutes over, and we'll be okay. Okay, here we go. But Colossians says that he transfers for us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Look at this. That word delivered or rescued means to rescue, to snatch from danger, to deliver, removing someone from danger or oppression. Snatch just in the nick of time. Hallelujah. When he says we were delivered from the power of darkness, watch this. That means we were delivered from the authority, from the control, from the dominion, from the very influence of darkness. We're delivered from it. We don't have to live with that mess anymore. I mean, there's no coping. There's no coping with something in the kingdom of God. Because if you truly trust what God's word says about this, there's nothing to cope with. You're not having to cope with the slavery because you've been delivered from the slavery. You don't have to cope with the sickness and disease because you've been delivered and healed from this sickness and disease. You don't have to cope with the anxiety and stress and all that kind of stuff because we've been delivered out of it. We've been removed from it. So why do we still struggle with things if we've been delivered? We've got to get our minds renewed. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world and its way of functioning and being and doing, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind to the word of God so that you, us believers, can prove to the world what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? So it's about mind renewal. So, but here, let me say this. No matter where you're at in this, in your process of getting your mind renewed. Maybe you've heard about it, but you don't know much about it, or maybe you know tons about it. Maybe you're out there and you know more about it than I've learned. I don't know. But I'm telling you this, no matter where you're at in your process, God will meet you right where you're at. You don't have to get in condemnation because you're not this great, redeemed giant. Right? Maybe you feel like people. I just can't believe the way you believe, PK. Come on. We love you. God loves you, and He will help you get there. You know how I got where I'm at today? One day at a time, baby. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Right? One day at a time. So don't ever get in condemnation, because you know. Hey, we preach the Word of God, and there's some crazy, awesome stuff in the Word of God, but we're all walking this thing one step at a time. One step at a time, one day at a time, one moment. Sometimes it's not even a day, it's just like one moment. Lord, just give me the faith to get to the next moment, right? Come on, one day at a time. But we're all going to get there. We're all going to get there. Amen. Remember what Jesus said? He says, if he's got 99 sheep, but one's missing, he's going to leave the 99. He's going to go find the one. We're not going to let anybody lag behind. Nobody left behind. No, come on. We're here to help everybody, no matter what stage you're in, no matter what point of your progress you're in, we're here to help each and every person get to the prize. Amen. We're going to make it, but you know how we're going to make it? We're going to make it together. Amen. Go ahead and stand upon your feet.